So welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining Citizens Climate University tonight. You've landed on the Endorser Program 301. Tonight's lesson is really designed to share some stories of success and to talk about the different ways that you might approach a business or a community leader or even a local or state representative than you would with a member of Congress. So, you know, what's been effective? What are some strategies that these volunteers have used to get local endorsement? I am going to step aside here and I'm going to turn it over to Peter Brin from Houston, and he's going to get us started tonight. Peter, you're up.
All right. Thanks, Ricky, for getting everything started, and thanks everybody for coming on. Looks like a pretty good sized crowd tonight. So my name is Peter Brin. I'm the conservative director for CCL based down in Houston. I'm also, another hat that I wear, aside from the hard hat on the screen there, is endorser program coordinator. And that's really the role that I'm fulfilling in tonight's presentation. My background, I was an engineer with ExxonMobil for about 8 years. And I'll jump back on in a second, but I want to hand it over to Joe to introduce himself.
Hi, my name is Joseph Sherrell. I'm a chemical engineer, and have been certified by the U.S. Green Building Institute to design and build green buildings. I'm with the New Jersey Raritan Valley chapter. And our chapter has 12 endorsements to date. Tonight, I'm going to tell you about the three endorsements I got from our elected representatives in Trenton.
Bill Barron here, and I am the Wild West Regional Coordinator. So I cover Montana, Wyoming, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, and Nevada. I'm also one of the leaders of the Salt Lake City chapter, and I'm a third-time federal candidate. Climate candidate. I'm running for U.S. Senate and looking forward to next Tuesday.
Great. And Craig?
I'm Craig Preston. I live in California, Southern California. Costa Mesa is the actual city, and I work in Anaheim for a software company doing financial management. Love getting endorsements and found some success, so I'm glad to be on the call to share some of what we've tried. And I'm Southern California coordinator for this area.
Great, thanks, Craig. So I'd just like to put tonight's presentation in context. This is sort of the third installment of what we're doing with the Endorser Program for Citizens Climate University. The first of which, the 101, was sort of a program overview. It talked about why this is an important initiative and what the program is, how it supports that initiative. We then had 201, which spoke specifically to using the endorser database. That's the tool that we use to manage all of the endorser contact information that we have. It's growing pretty dramatically. So that was kind of a how-to. This is 301, which is now going to provide some guidance on getting endorsements, both identifying endorsers and building the relationship. And that's why we have the folks we have on the call tonight. They've all had some really good successes. So as Joe mentioned before, he's going to talk about elected state leaders and some of the successes he's had in New Jersey. Bill Barron's going to talk about working with a specific industry, specifically the ski and winter sports industry. He's had a lot of success there. I'm really excited to have Craig on. He's going to talk about what they've done in Southern California in terms of actually organizing themselves, not so much about the endorsements he's gotten, but really how they've organized themselves as a team in that whole region. And I'm going to finish up with some overview on various tools that are available on CCL Community to help you in this process. We continue to add tools as time goes on, so there's a lot there. And with that, Joe, I'm going to hand it back to you. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you, Peter. So I'm going to tell you tonight about the three endorsements we got from our elected state leaders in New Jersey, three of the 12. So the first one was a meeting with Senator Kip Bateman, who's a Republican, and he has 100% rating on the environmental. So three CCL people attended, and we introduced ourselves and stated why climate change is personally important to each of us. It seems like Kip was just waiting for a group like CCL to come through the door and stand with him on the environment. He signed the CFD on the spot. This blew me away. It's a good idea to get an easy one up front to build confidence. The second meeting was with Assemblyman Jack Cittarelli, who's a Republican. Three CCLers attended that one. I brought a photo of my granddaughter, Hadley, and, you know, said that this is the reason that I'm trying to address climate change and so that she will have a livable world. I mentioned the Bateman endorsement. This is very important to, you know, name drop. He believed in climate change. However, he believed that technology would take care of it. We explained that technology might not come along fast enough, and by employing CFD, we would accelerate technological advancement and also lessen the amount of fossil fuel used. He did not completely buy it, but he did sign the benign endorsement to address climate change. Post-meeting, I met with him for breakfast to try to recruit him as a conservative advisor. He said he was preparing to run for governor, which he did declare, and he could not commit at this time. The third meeting was with Assemblyman Andrew Zwicker, who's a Democrat. Three CCLers attended that one. He had introduced the six environmental bills into the assembly. We met with his aide, because he wasn't available, mentioned that we had endorsements from two state representatives, and I needed to follow up several times with his aide and send the endorser form again. Zwicker signed the benign one, which we scratched our heads but chose not to pursue it at the time. Then 3 months later, we made a presentation to the Bound Borough Council. They signed the CFD endorsement. So at that point, I followed up with Zwicker because of that success. And I said, we were expecting, you know, why didn't you sign the CFD endorsement? Could we provide any additional information? After another follow-up, he did sign the CFD endorsement, and so success begets success. So, summing it up, what worked, being businesslike, having an agenda, coming into the meeting, following up. Follow-up is very important. I must have followed up six times with one of the offices. Name-dropping the fact that we got endorsements from other elected leaders and groups. What didn't work, ask them if they would follow up with other party members. Simple agenda, 5 points. Introductions, why climate change is important personally to each of us. Explain CCL and its objectives. Listen, hear what their response is, reply to their response, and then ask for the endorsement. Couple of handouts, not too many. If they want more, they'll ask for them. Try business cards, thank you note, and visuals. Thank you for your attention, and I'll turn it over to Bill Barron.
Great. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
So I'm, like Peter introduced me, he shared that I'm focused on a specific industry, and that focus has been on the ski industry. So some of the successes that we've experienced through the effort has been the endorsement of the Ski Area Association, Protect Our Winters, Aspen Ski Corp. We also have endorsements from a couple in outdoor equipment companies, as well as a number of professional skiers and boarders that are mainly involved with Protect Our Winters. Want to go to the next slide? Oh, sorry. One of those endorsements is from Angel Collins, and she is a professional athlete with Protect Our Winters. And she's, you know, because of her name recognition, it's been a great opportunity for us in CCL to have her do this endorsement, because she has such exposure in the ski industry. And so her, if you go to Angel Collinson Carbon Fee and Dividend, you can see the endorsement that she created on our behalf that's gotten a lot of exposure online. So talking about the process on how I have worked on developing this focus in the specific industry, the key to me at first is the, you know, the connections. And so the work that I do with the ski industry is definitely different than the approach I would take with members of Congress. I see it more as kind of a networking opportunity where one effort leads to another. And so, for instance, the first endorsement that I got with the ski area was the Aspen Ski Corp. And that led me through connections with the Aspen Ski Corp to protect our winners. And protect our winners, when they endorsed the legislation, it then allowed me the opportunity to approach the National Ski Area Association. And being able to say that these other industries have supported our proposal made it a pretty, considering it made it a pretty easy sell. And there's the connections that I can see potential in is, for instance, the professional athletes who have such popularity and they're on social media and they're sponsored by equipment manufacturers. So it creates this opportunity to really build one after the other. The next thing is that I think is important really in anything that we do with CCL is the relationship building. I think it's really fundamental to everything that we do. But for me, in this effort with the ski industry, it's a personal thing for me too, because I have worked in the ski industry for a number of years. And so it's that relationship building came from a personal place and where I was able to share to the people that I meet with to get endorsements and be able to make it personal, why it's important to me, why I'm concerned about the ski industry fading away and how it affects the water supplies that we can get, et cetera, et cetera. That then the last thing that I wanted to touch on is how important it is to follow up. And the follow up is something that I just want to share that, you know, in these getting these endorsements, they don't necessarily happen overnight. It can take years. And it's just being patient and persistent and not trying not to be overbearing at the same time. So there's a delicate balance on how to follow up and to just, keep the ball rolling without pushing too hard or too far. And so, what this is creating an opportunity for us in the ski industry is now I have these professional athletes and I'm working on reaching out to them to incorporate them into meetings with our members of Congress. So where they are constituents, now we can try to get them plugged into meetings, which people have been drawn to as far as having these athletes attend meetings. So there's one thing just tends to lead to the other in this effort. And so I think that there's great value in, if somebody has an interest in pursuing a specific industry, if it's something that you've been involved in, it's a great way to follow it through and be connected at a personal level. So I think the bottom line for me is knowing that these endorsements can take time and don't be discouraged. And that if you do it from a place of appreciation, like we all are trained to do, and relationship building, the success is there, and it will be there. I have recently set up an action team in community for the ski and outdoor industry. And so I'm encouraging anybody who's interested in working in that specific area to join in, and then we can work on networking from throughout the country on focusing on this specific industry. And I think that's it. Thanks, Peter.
Great. Thanks, Bill. Let's go to Craig next.
Great. My part of this call is to talk about coordinating, and in Southern California, we've taken some of these things and try to apply them in different ways, learn the hard way sometimes. But as you know, CCL provides a lot of tools to all of us and see how we can do this to build political will. Joseph mentioned that when he goes to his meetings in New Jersey, you know, there was at least three of them that went. And so that just reminds me of how, well, we don't want to do this alone. We all have different skills and talents and how we can apply this. So I'll just go through our first attempt that we were thinking, how do we build political will through using this endorsement concept? Our North Orange County chapter took this on, and some of us helped in to go after chambers of commerce. We were so inspired by Jay Butera's efforts in South Florida and wanted to just follow along with what his success was. We identified 9 chambers in the district, and then there were volunteers that came together from the CCL chapter to start researching how to find them, reach out to them, and set up meetings. We would have monthly conference calls or sometimes even every 2 weeks to just see what the status was and how the questions were going and motivate each other. And as they would report back, there were a few presentations, there was some movement, but we found it was a little harder than we thought, that Jay had maybe a secret mechanism to it, but we didn't find that here in Orange County, California, being as easy to get chambers on board. It was going to take more education and more results and more even building political will within their membership to push the leaders on board. So it turned out to be 0 endorsements from the chambers, but along the way, we did meet other people and get involved in those presentations and ask the individuals to endorse. And so there are about 85 endorsements so far using gathering them along the way over those 8 months, particularly with Kiwanis clubs and faith leaders. And that got us some momentum and then was building from there, because it seems like a crowd gathers a crowd. And when we say the Father so-and-so from this Catholic church endorsed, it was much easier for other people to join on that would affiliate. I wanted to share that I personally, at one point on one of these calls, just was challenged to put out a number myself that I'm going to go for 6 endorsements in the next 3 weeks. And I found I myself had been blocked a little bit of how am I going to do this? I had printed the forms, had them both hand, but to actually go out and get somebody to endorse, it was just that first step. And so I'm walking down around Anaheim at lunchtime, and there was a librarian in a certain part of the library area, and went up and asked, and she endorsed CF&D right on the spot, and it got my first endorsement. So it was very motivating. And then I just said, my intro was that we often go to D.C. and meet with members of Congress, but they say, do the people back home care? And so I'm here to talk to you today and get some support. Just that little intro I wanted to share, though, of just saying that we go meet with these members of Congress and they say, do the people back home care? And this was a way, I think, that Peter and others had the vision for the endorsement project, that we could show more support. All right, this is my other slide about just our second attempt, that since that was a little harder, we went into something we're calling Tiger Teams. This was birthed out of the idea that, as we know, Mark Reynolds has said, we're going to go over the fence and hit a home run next year and pass CF&D. And so we wanted to break that down into how do we do that? And if we use the Jay Butera idea and mixing in with some of the things that our other leaders in D.C. have done, Danny Richter, that we need about 50 members of Congress, Republican, on board. And so Jay Butera was thinking we need to get about 60 endorsers per member of Congress to get them to come on board. And so we thought, let's try it. Let's see if we can get 60 endorsers in 60 days. And so instead of us spreading out around the state, we just picked one area and pooled some resources together, and 3 or 4 or 5 of us came together and did a conference call, sometimes weekly, sometimes every other week, to coordinate and who wanted to do a research part of it, to research different things. You'll see here we broke into these task teams, and so we coordinated through these conference calls and then broke into 4 different areas of one team being in research, that they would just go out there and use their skills to find businesses, faith leaders, community leaders, that elected officials that we could reach out to. They were just making a big database using Google Docs of these names and contacts. The next team was the email team that would take those emails and send out massive emails. It went pretty smooth because we had a template that we made, and all this is available if you want to see some of these templates and use it yourself. We would send out about 30 emails a week, and we're then considering other ways too that we can mail letters if we don't have an email address to some of the businesses. And then after a few days, we had the phone calling team jump into action, start doing follow-up phone calls, to see if they received the email, if it needs to be sent again, what they thought about it, if they were going to endorse, or if they, we could meet them to explain more. And so that process has been going on now. We're in about our sixth week of this 60-day period. And then the endorser database team would be wants to make sure that this information is getting into the CCL database ahead of time, so we know we don't cross overlap, but also at the end to show the status and the endorsements that are coming in. Over the 6 weeks, we've gotten 8 endorsements, not 60 yet, but we're working hard to get those. But 3 of the endorsements were CEOs of major companies here in the Irvine area, and then one elected person running for office. And then we're reaching out now to CCLers that are in our database, knowing that a lot of them, they have titles of somewhere they've worked or do work, or a community involvement, a PTA involvement, whatever it is. So we're now reaching out to them to have them in our database so we can show our size and our effect on the community. So we're up to 8 now, 8 endorsers. All right, next slide, if there is one, Peter. We're seeking support to build these Diger teams. Our pilot program will finish in 2 weeks. And if you want information, you can reach out to me. And we have a toolkit that we're building to share some of these tools to make it easier for people that want to try it where they are. And a particular thing is, it doesn't have to be where you are. People remotely can focus on a district in Texas if they want and have a team that would coordinate with the local people there, and then go for it to blitz, in a sense, to get endorsements quickly in a certain area. That's it.
Great. Thanks, Craig. Well, before I jump into the final section, which is really going to talk about some of the tools that are available on CCL Community to support this, I just was taking a few notes as y'all were talking of some of the themes that, you know, I seem to hear. And it's kind of funny. I have 2 different themes, and both seem to have merit. Certainly, my experience has been that, you know, you focus on building a relationship, as Bill talked about, you know, you start meeting more folks. And as Joe talked about, you use one endorsement to help get future ones and reference that. So you kind of have this snowball effect. So on the one hand, I think that's a really great and important way to do it. But then another theory is sort of the shotgun approach, which is to send 30 emails a week or a bunch of form letters and see who signs, and maybe I get a few signatures out of it. So, you know, both can work. And I think depending on, you know, what your team is doing, I think either can be appropriate. So it's interesting that you shared that, Craig. I just, part of the reason I asked Craig to be on this particular call is I've been really impressed with how the team in Southern California has organized themselves with their regular calls and the size of the team and the engagement of the team and the focus of the team. So really good work to you guys. All right, well, I'm going to finish up by pointing out some of the actual resources on CCL Community that are available to all of you. Like most resources on Community, if you start by clicking the Volunteer Resources tab at the top, and then you navigate, in this case, to the Grasstops Outreach button on the left, the very top link will take you to the Endorser Program homepage. A lot of the other links are kind of the same links as what I'm about to show, the other ones that are on the screen there. But if you click the Endorser Program homepage, you'll get a screen that looks something like this. And it basically breaks down the endorsement process into sort of 4 general steps. One is to identify who you're going to engage, what endorsers you want to talk to. Step 2 is to cultivate the relationship. Step 3 is managing that relationship using the endorser database. And step 4 is demonstrating that support using reports. So once we get all these endorsements, how do we present them? How do we use them when we communicate with Congress? And that's what some of those links are for. But tonight's conversation is going to focus on the first 2 elements, identify and cultivate. So just want to spend a few minutes on some general and then specific resources for identifying who to reach out to. So, you know, if you're new to this and you don't have a team going yet and you're really just kind of dipping your toe in the water, you might say, well, where do I start? Well, the best place to start, and somebody mentioned this before, is start with some, you know, start with an easy one. Get some easy ones that where you expect to get an endorsement. You know, the head of a local environmental club, or, you know, a faith leader from a more progressive church, or something like that. So a place where you expect to get support. And what that'll allow you to do is, you know, it'll just kind of get you in the flow of things. It'll help you to practice your pitch. And, you know, and it'll let you rack up some early successes, which kind of helps to build support within the rest of the group. It sounds like that's what Craig did with the librarian who was sitting on the bench. And then, you know, another thing is you can be very strategic about this. Ask Congress when you're in your meetings, your lobby meetings, especially when things might seem like they're, you know, sometimes you get to that point in a meeting and there's that awkward pause. A good thing to throw out there is, hey, you know, we're reaching out to community leaders. We're trying to create political will in your district to make it easier for the member to support this. Who should we be talking to? You know, and that does a couple of things. A, it could give you some good leads. B, it engages that staffer, that member of Congress, to sort of say, hey, we're asking for your help in this. You know, you're not, even if you don't support our policy yet, you're not off the hook. You're going to help us to try to help you to support this. So that's kind of a good thing to consider including in your meetings. And the rest of these examples, faith leaders, leaders of other causes in the region, elected officials like mayors, university presidents, certainly chambers of commerce and big businesses, those are really important, veterans groups. These are all contacts that you would be working with your chapter on at the local level, and liaisons can offer some input. You know, the liaison can say, hey, here are some big employers in the district you might want to go chase after. So that's if you're working locally. Then, of course, you can work at the regional level, like Craig was talking about, where Southern California is looking across the whole region. And multiple chapters are working on, you know, and these could be like state politicians, big industries in the region, big businesses, regional media. And then if you're part of a national action team, you may be doing some outreach to, so for example, the healthcare action team outreaches to national healthcare professional societies, things like that. So you might be reaching out at the national level to think tanks or national media, big lobbying groups, things like that. So the endorser program really is here to support all of that. And these are just some sort of generic examples of the types of endorsers that we tend to look for. Now, a new resource that I don't think a lot of people are aware yet has been added, and it is incredibly rich. And I strongly, strongly suggest that everybody on this call incorporate this into your planning. About 3-4 months ago, we added a new tool called MOC Connections. And here's a screenshot from my member of Congress. And what we've done is before the database was really just all endorsers. Now we've created the option to link endorsers to multiple members of Congress. And so what that allows us to do now is to start to massively import information from other sources that help us to be more strategic in who we're engaging. So if you go to the MOC Connections tab, the default will be your member of Congress, but you can really search any member of Congress. And our IT team has been uploading information that is helpful as you're figuring out who to approach into the database. So if you go to your member of Congress, what you'll see today, you should see the top donors for the member of Congress. You should see most of the local chambers of commerce in that region. I think any cities and mayors and elected officials have all been loaded in there. So if you haven't loaded those things in yourself yet, they should now be loaded in there for most of the more major cities and organizations in the district. We're also looking right now at a resource that allows us to identify the biggest employers in the district. There's some technical things that we have to work out on that too, but that's coming soon. So if you're looking to really just jump into this and say, where should we put our, you know, where should we spend our time? This could be a really good resource going to the MOC Connections tab. Now, the other thing that was kind of alluded to earlier, we talked a lot about getting leaders' letters signed, right? So once you identify your endorser, you also have to figure out what do you want the endorser to do? Ultimately, what do you want them to do? Do you want them to sign the leader's letter? Do you want them to join you with a meeting in a lobby meeting? If it's an organization like a chamber of commerce, probably the ask there, if you're asking the president, him or herself, to sign on, then a leader's letter is probably appropriate. If they're willing to do that as an individual, that'd be fine. But a chamber as an organization probably isn't going to sign a leader's letter. What it might do, though, is add fee and dividend to its legislative positions. And once they, and if we're able to get them to do that, then we would capture that in the database as well and make sure that's communicated with members of Congress. Or do you just want the endorser? You know, maybe you talk to somebody who you know is going to be a pretty easy sell and they'll sign quickly, but then they can also help you to find other potential endorsers, and make introductions. So there's a lot of different goals. Signing the leader's letter is an important one and it's a core one, but it's certainly not the only one. You could ask for one or more of these potential goals with the endorser. So going back to the CCL community page, under the identify section, there are a couple of resources I just wanted to point out. If you go onto the Endursa program homepage, you'll see the link that says forum. That takes you to our community forum. You can sign up, join the forum, ask questions, answer questions from others, share best practices, things like that. We do have a monthly call. You can click on the monthly call button and see the date of the next and time of the next call and dial-in information. And we also have an email help desk, which is endorse@citizensclimate.org. So these are just sort of the basic tools that are there to help people when they're starting out. And the next step in the process is cultivating the relationship. And the other gents tonight spoke a lot to this, so I won't spend a lot of time on it. But you know, just in general, we want to, as Bill said, this is really developing a relationship, you know, and you're probably going to want to develop those relationships in some cases before you even ask about signing a leader's letter. In some cases, maybe you do it at the first meeting. Some cases, maybe not. Depends how it goes and who the audience is. But, you know, the first meeting typically is just you introducing yourself and CCL, learning more about the endorser, and sharing some ideas of how the endorser might get engaged, you know, depending on their level of interest. You can consider, you know, a progression of questions like this, where you start out and just say, you know, are you and your organization interested in climate change and solutions? Has this issue come up in discussions? Do you think Congress should take action? Would you be willing to join the conversation that we're having with Congress? And, you know, eventually when you're ready to ask the question, once you get to that point, you could ask them if they'd be willing to sign a leader's letter, write an editorial, or add carbon pricing to the legislative agenda. Again, depending on the organization, the appropriate ask may change. So again, just to wrap up, going back to the Endorsa program homepage, a couple of resources that are worth pointing out. The URL, citizensclimatelobby.org/leaders. Keep that in your bookmarks. That is a public page that is there to explain the program to potential endorsers. It answers common questions like, can a 501c3 sign on, those kinds of things. And it also offers an external portal for people to come in and sign directly online. The page looks like this. So if you go to citizensclimatelobby.org/leaders, this is the top of the page. There's more at the bottom. Again, this allows folks to sign on immediately. One of the things that I will point out is that, and this is just an administrative thing, but if you have an endorser already entered into the database and they come in and sign in this unsolicited fashion, that's going to create a duplicate, and our admins are able to merge those, and they should catch it, but it's kind of tough, so they don't always catch it. So there is a tool in the database where you can send somebody a link to sign. You know, if you enter in ABC company and you say, okay, I want to send this to the president, you can click an electronic request and they'll get an email request to sign the endorsement letter. So that's really the proper way to do it if somebody's already in the database. But if somebody's not yet in the database, they can just go into this leader site and sign directly, and we won't have the duplicate issue. So, but anyway, long story short, this is a great resource, and I encourage everybody to use it as much as you can. There's also some introduction email templates that are available that just kind of help if you're starting to start a conversation or request a meeting. And the last thing I want to point to are the targeted outreach pages. These are specific outreach pages. A comment came up before the call tonight about a certain type of outreach to Rotary clubs, for example. There is a section that I don't think is well known, but is very rich with information called Targeted Outreach Pages on Community. And if you go to it, you can click the button I just showed, or again, you can go back to Volunteer Resources, and under Grass Tops Outreach, if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see Targeted Outreach. And there is a page for academic outreach, business community, conservative groups, faith-based groups, et cetera. And each one of these pages is generally administered by one of the action teams, and they provide, they continue to grow. Some pages aren't as content rich as others, but there's a lot of good stuff out there for you to use. So, but they would include things like handouts that are tailored for specific audiences, questions and answers, sometimes a help desk email for certain types of questions, templates, those kinds of things. So strongly encourage you to take a look at that if you're reaching out to a certain group, And with that, we're going to wrap up, and everybody's email is going to be on the screen in case you have any questions. You can contact folks directly, and I'll hand it back to Ricky.
All right. Thank you so much, Peter, and thanks so much for everyone. Just so much great information. So let me just a couple of reminders here. You know, this is the lesson 301, right? So this is, you know, there have been two other lessons, and those are both on community for you to go back and listen to on demand at any time. And hopefully bring you a little bit more, give you a little bit more of that background if this is your first exposure to the Endorsers program. But also know, and Peter, is it, endorsers@citizensclimate.org. What's the email address that anyone can reach you, the endorsement team?
Yeah, it is endorse@citizensclimate.org.
Yeah, endorse@citizensclimate.org. And anytime you have questions, I mean, those guys are fantastic. There's a whole team working on the back end that will be glad to answer any questions that you may have at any time about this. So it's all volunteer team, lots of folks putting in a lot of hours, you know, trying to help you. So definitely take advantage of it. That's what they're there for. They'll be glad to help. So we got a couple of questions, but before we get started, I did pose one question to you guys when we did our walkthrough, and I just wanted you, each one of you, to take a stab at it real quick. Some of the feedback that we've gotten from folks is they really want to know, you know, what's the differences, or, you know, maybe you can tell us just one thing that's different about lobbying a community leader or a business, maybe in how you prepare, or, you know, what the meeting actually, how it evolves, than meeting with a member of Congress. So why don't we start off, we'll start off with Bill. I'll start off with you. If you could just tell us what your thoughts are on that.
Sure. I kind of alluded to it early on, which was that I think that the difference is I see the effort in reaching out to the industry as sort of a networking opportunity where you're more peers than you are, say, a person who's reaching to their member of Congress.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Why don't we, Joseph, if you'll unmute your line or click on your little microphone there and tell us, you know, what stands out to you as the biggest difference or maybe similarity with meeting with, you know, local and state reps like you've been doing and members of Congress?
Well, I take the same approach as meeting with a member of Congress, and I do it a very business-like stepwise approach. I send them an agenda, and you know, I discuss with them. Well, in the member of Congress, I'm asking him to actually introduce legislation for carbon fee and dividend. Okay, whereas with the endorser, I'm asking him to endorse our goal or mission of having a member of Congress pass carbon fee and dividend. So, I mean, it's a difference to me, but in my approach, it's the same. You get an agenda, you discuss with a member of Congress, just the same as I went through, introduce CCL, what our goals and objectives are, ask him what his, view on the environment is and our mission, and then, you know, respond to his view. So it's kind of the same thing, but we're asking the member of Congress to specifically introduce legislation for carbon fee and dividend.
Great. Thanks, Joseph. Yeah, I love the fact that you brought up that there's so many similarities, and yeah, it's not a black box. It's a lot of the same things that we've already been learning with CCL.
Let me just add to that. When I did meet with Representative Lance in Washington, D.C., I also asked him, I said, there are 1,000 CCLers on the Hill today talking with other members of Congress. You know, can you get together with them and, you know, ask them what their views are now on, you know, introducing legislation for carbon fee and dividend, and see, you know, if you can meet, have the meeting of the minds, and this is an important issue, and we should start addressing this. Also, to have him meet with the Climate Solutions Caucus. You know, we had a member of Congress who we worked well with, a Democrat, Donald Payne, and I asked him if he would meet with Donald Payne to consider joining this Climate Solutions Caucus.
Great. Thanks, Joseph. Craig, do you want to tell us, just your learnings of anything that's different or, what's extremely similar about meeting with community leaders, business leaders, environmental groups, national organizations, and a member of Congress? Yep. Let me unmute. There you go.
I'm unmuted. Can you hear me, Ricky?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. What comes to mind is that we are building political will. And so when we go to meet with our member of Congress, we're reporting about the political will that's been built and how to coordinate with them and get to know them and build relationship as we do and even say thank you for things and keep pushing towards our goal of a passing of carbon fee and dividend. I find the endorsement process is different. We're instead of reporting about political will, we're building political will. And so I like it that people have some degree of concern about climate change. And CCL, we offer hope and solutions. And so it's nice that they are like, they get to come out. It's like saying, put me in, coach. They get to be part of a solution. And so they get to be part of building political will. And so we make it easy for them to either endorse right then or learn about it and grow or get other people to sign the constituent comment form. But I see right now we're blitzing to send out massive amounts of emails to community leaders, business leaders in a certain area. And then we're kind of using business climate leaders, their approach to then develop those relationships as we get these CEOs that sign it so quickly. We call and develop a relationship to stay connected so they're in our database. They're available to us when we want to go meet. A lot of them have already been trying to meet with that member of Congress, and they often tell us, well, we'll call you when we get a meeting, and we'll invite you to come with us. And so it's nice to have that coordination. They already want hope and solutions, and we're coordinating with them. So I find it's more about political will, and it's supposed to reporting what the political will is.
Wow, that's fantastic. The great insight, Greg. Appreciate that so much. So it sounds like the process, a lot of the process things are the same, but maybe the types of things that you're talking about during the meeting are just a little bit different. So that's great. Appreciate the insight there. So let's go ahead. We got a few questions, and I'll go ahead.
Hey, Ricky.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add one. I almost fully agree with the fact that I think it's much more similar than it is dissimilar. We're listening, we're asking, we're preparing, we're going a business like. We use other endorsements to support and build the snowball. I think all of that's very similar to lobbying Congress. The one thing that is worth pointing out, though, and I think this is important, is the question of, is it germane? When you go into a member of Congress and talk to them, it's your presence there is germane because you're a constituent. So you get an audience because you're a constituent. You can talk about whatever you want. You can go in there and talk about the World Series last night or talk about why you like peppermint gum versus something else. They got to sit there and listen to you because you're a constituent and they got to care. If you go to talk to a chamber, if you go talk to a newspaper, you are not a constituent. So it is up to them whether they care or not. So one of the first things you need to do is figure out, how do I make this germane to this entity? One of the things I always point out is I tell them what we're doing with Congress, and then I say the reason we're here talking to you today is because you have Congress's ear. They care what you think, and that's why we're asking you to join this discussion. So I think one big difference is we have to make it germane to the audience that we're engaging when we're working with endorsers. Other than that, I think it's very, very similar.
Yeah, I love that. That's fantastic. That's really, I can't say that any better. The thing I would say is maybe the only difference I can think of, the meetings that we've had, like everyone else has said, the process is very similar. But to Peter's point, making it germane, just like with Bill, Bill had to really know and understand the industry or, do a little bit of research on that industry to find out how either climate change is impacting them or maybe how our policy will positively or negatively impact their industry. And that's something they want to know, right? They want to know if this policy were to be enacted, right? How would it impact my bottom line? So they do want to know those things. So that's the kind of information that you can bring to them. And like Peter said, make it a little germane for them. So let's go with a few questions here. And any of you guys can feel free to jump in or anybody on the line that's, got some thoughts that they want to share as well. I'll ask a couple of questions. And then if you have a question, you can unmute yourself, press *6. But let me jump in real quick with this first question. From Rob, he says, Peter, can you talk about the nuance of a little bit of the difference that we've tried to fine line, we try to walk a little bit between the difference between a leader's letter and an endorsement and, what the thought is there?
Yeah, sure. That's a fair question. There's a whole history behind it, but I'll just tell you where we are right now. So the term, if you go onto the endorser program page and you read the FAQs and the definitions. The term endorsement, we define it to mean basically anything that, well, not anything. An endorsement is either a leader's letter, it is a municipal resolution from like a city calling for support, or it is a newspaper editorial. So an endorsement is any one of those three things: leader's letter, an editorial from a newspaper, or a municipal resolution. Anything else that is like in the public domain, so for example, if a CEO gives a speech or a company has a public position out on the website, or a chamber of commerce puts something on a legislative agenda that's public, that's considered a public position, and that has its own spot in the endorser database. The reason that we differentiate between, well, endorsement, as I said before, means multiple things. A leader's letter, one of the reasons that we moved away from the term endorsement letter, and I actually misspoke tonight and I used that term, you might have caught me. the term endorsement letter is actually not correct. It's a leader's letter. And the reason for that is because the leader's letter, when people hear the term endorsement, they think that they're endorsing, sometimes people think they're endorsing CCL and they're not. The leader's letter is simply a letter between the endorser and their member of Congress. And we are simply the courier. We're the ones carrying it from them to Congress. So it's not an endorsement of CCL. It's simply a letter to Congress. So we renamed it leader's letter A to make it clear that it was intended for leaders and not just everybody. So that was, sometimes we had the awkward situation where somebody would sign and we'd say, why are you a leader exactly? Are you a president of something? Or, you know, and sometimes people misunderstood. So that was one reason. The other reason was we wanted to make sure it was a letter to Congress and not an endorsement of CCL. So I know it's a little confusing with the terms. The earlier CCUs talk about that a little bit more, some of the definitions.
Great. So again, *6 if you want to ask a question, or click the little microphone symbol next to your name if you're joining us online.
Nikki, I have a question.
Sure. Who is this?
This is Susan in Boulder.
Hey, Susan.
Hi. The question I have is, so the leader's letters, my understanding is that there are two kinds of letters. One is just endorsing climate action, and the other is endorsing fee and dividend. Is there any discussion of a letter in between that would endorse pricing carbon?
That I can take that. That question has come up, and it's a good one. We've kicked this back and forth, and while I'm very sympathetic to the idea, the decision was made to, for now, keep it simple. And part of the reason, so the short answer is we're not planning to do that right now. However, part of the reason for that is also because, well, A, is to keep it simple. It's confusing enough for some folks that we have two letters as exactly what to use. But in addition to that, we are actually, the plan right now is that if we do have our legislation on the floor next year, which we expect to, we will be introducing a new letter that specifically supports House bill, whatever the number is. So we're encouraging folks to continue to, in fact, now is a great time, well, the end of the year is right around the corner, but now is really a great time to continue to really push hard on starting those relationships, because come next year, when we introduce the new letter, we're going to want to go back to some of the folks who've talked to in the past and ask them specifically if they would support that letter. So, good question. Unfortunately, the answer is no right now, but there's some reasons behind that.
Okay,
Thank you, Susan. Appreciate the question. You know, there's a couple of comments from folks in the chat, so I'll just clarify. Yes, we will, on the community page that has this lesson, the PowerPoint presentation from that Peter's put together tonight, that'll be loaded there as well. So you'll be able to go back and access that at any time. Let's see. Joyce asks, and Peter, you're sharing your screen, so why don't you go ahead and share and show. You want to hit escape here or get out of the share screen mode. Joyce wants to know, you know, how do you get to the endorser database? So will you show her real quick, just start from the homepage of community and walk everyone through how to get to the endorser database. Are you there, Peter?
Sure. Let me
Or you want me to do it?
Correct. I got it here. I just want to make sure I share the right screen.
Yeah, you don't share anything that you're not supposed to be sharing with everybody.
All right. So here we are on the homepage of community. There are a couple of ways in. One is over on the right side here. It says endorsements. That takes you to the endorser program homepage. That's one shortcut in. The other one is what I showed earlier tonight, where you go to volunteer resources. I'll go the long way just to show the second way to do it. If you're in volunteer resources, you can hit Grasstops Outreach. And actually, there's a link to the Dorset database there. There's a link to the program homepage here when you go to the program homepage. So the short answer is there's multiple ways in. There's a link to the database here. And I think you can probably also just search for data, you know, Dorset database, and I'm sure it would probably come up as one of the top results.
Boy, I hope it does right now. Or I'm in trouble.
Well, here you go. How to use the Dorset database. Woo! And the Dorset program database. All here right. We go. Yay. So then you come in here, and of course you have the whole database should pop up. It takes a second because it's loading from Salesforce, our database, in the background.
Yeah, it does take a few minutes to load, not a few minutes, I'm sorry, a few seconds to load, more so than the normal pages on communities. It's because it is connecting with Salesforce, so just be a little patient with that. And then again, Endorser 201, Joyce, which Peter, if you'll just show her, you know, how to get everyone, how to get to CCU as well on that page. And you can show them real quick where the Endorser 201 training and 101 training is.
Sure. So, of course, you can always go to the CCU training at the top, which will take you into the entire Citizens Climate University training. And if you click on Grasstops again down here, you'll see the 101, the 201. And I'm assuming this is going to, I guess, eventually be the 301 local resolution to support a fee and dividend.
Eventually.
As I mentioned a minute ago, it's also linked from the Endorser database homepage, Endorser program homepage. Come in here. You will see another link to Citizens Climate 101 and 201 over here.
Yeah.
So there's multiple ways in, but the CCU at the top is probably the quickest.
Great. Thank you. All right. Let's see. Okay. Oh, she was talking about the MOC part of the database. I'm sorry. Go back to that. And go back to that real quick. And while you're doing that, Peter Joseph brings up a good point, you know, that we're not just talking about businesses and, you know, different types of community, chambers of commerce and rotary clubs. You know, we're also talking about we need to do a lot of outreach to environmental and social justice groups and making sure that, you know, we shouldn't make the assumption that they're going to be on our side and that they're in total agreement with us. And they've probably got some very valid points about our policy that we need to address and that we need to hear them out on. And so we talked about maybe that's some low-hanging fruit. Don't necessarily assume that it is. I mean, there's been some signs of that across the country that we really need to go in and build relationships with those folks as much as we do with our you know, conservative-leaning friends and chambers of commerce, because, you know, we are a nonpartisan organization and we're trying to bring all sides together. So it's a very, very valid point. Thanks for bringing that up, Peter. And then, Peter, do you want to show real quick how to – so you're in the database right now, and it's just the MOC connections tab. Is that right?
Yeah, for most volunteers, you'll probably see four tabs at the top. You'll see search, my endorsers, advanced search, and then MOC connections. If you're a group leader, you'll see my chapter. If you're an action team leader, you'll see my action team. So some of these might appear on some of your screens. But if you click the MOC connections tab, it'll show up and it'll default to your member of Congress.